public hearing this afternoon or this evening as well, so we'll open it up. There'll be public comment during that public hearing. We'll also have public comment at the end of our meeting, so this is one of a few that we're going to have today. Stacy Harris, please make your way to the podium.
Good evening. My name is Stacy Harris. I just am before you guys again talking about the traffic calming before you guys tonight. And I was reading in your ordinance in the resolution, and you have, whereas the city of Dunwoody is charged with safeguarding the safety, health, and welfare of the citizens of the city. Sounds good. And then you have, in the fourth point, whereas the mayor and the city council have determined that it may be appropriate to amend the ordinance to establish a traffic calming measure policy that is reflective of the goals and values of the city of Dunwoody. So I ask, what changed in the goals and values of the city of Dunwoody that's causing a change to be made in the traffic calming ordinance? Because I look back and there's 11 traffic calming districts in the city of Dunwoody. I don't know how long the ordinance has been in place in DeKalb. I do know when my husband and I got married 11 years ago, we were living on a street that actually underwent a petition. So somewhere around 11 years. I'm thinking that 11 districts in 11 years isn't a whole lot. It's not like the city's being overrun with speed bumps. So I just ask, when you're looking at this tonight, I truly believe that speed bumps help protect pedestrians and children. I cannot say that. I mean, I've lived on a speed bump street. I don't live on one now, and I won't. But they do protect pedestrians and children, and that really is your number one point to do that. So before you change it and make it harder, and make citizens pay for something that you pay to repair a pothole, why wouldn't you pay to put a speed bump in? It's what the government does. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Jim Maloney.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Tonight I was appalled to learn that we charge a church for a building permit. I'm not a member of Dunwoody United Methodist Church, but all that they have done for this city, if you charged him a penny, and I was Wiley Stevens, I'd tell you the next time you're going to use my building, I'm going to charge you $100 a time. I can't imagine us charging churches or synagogues for a building permit. I mean, they're non-profit. We shouldn't be trying to make money from them. And I don't know how many churches we have. I'm sure you folks know. I'd say maybe 10 or 12. If they all got a building permit in 1 year, it wouldn't break us. I think you ought to revisit that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Jim, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Bill Grant in the next. Bill Grant.
I'm Bill. The purpose of me coming tonight is that we spent a lot of time discussing permits. I'm the guy that's raised the flag. Warren has gone through an effort, and although I don't totally agree with his solution, I do agree with the solution. I think we beat this horse. We ought to go on and approve it, and I'm okay with it as he is proposing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Bob Lunster.
Bob Lunster, I'm going to read this for the sake of time and my tendency to talk a lot. If I heard it right, the council was going to decide tonight whether they should change the code regarding traffic calming measures at Dunwoody. I've heard that some of the council do not want to pay for traffic calming measures in other people's neighborhoods. Opposition to traffic calming is not a budget issue. But saying that it is, if this council has a convenient smokescreen to hide behind. While not outlawing traffic calming in the city, you are considering changing the requirements for the new devices will be virtually impossible to achieve. Raising the requirements for signatures to 70%, up from 65% in DeKalb County. Increasing the count trip, the road trips to 400 trips a day. And on top of that, under the smokescreen of a budget item, you want to make the citizens pay for what DeKalb County was installing for free. So what we're going to have here is a lower level of service, pay what amounts to a tax increase in the same level and type of protection provided by DeKalb County. Not exactly the mantra that the city of Dunwoody was founded on. If a budget is the issue, which I doubt, given a couple of million dollars we'll be receiving due to host, keep the standards the same and limit the amount the city will spend on traffic calming to say $20,000 or $30,000 a year. Distribute the money on a first-come, first-served basis. If the funds run out, if there is a run on speed bumps and the fund has run out, the city can add additional funds, additional money to that fund, or postpone the installation for next year. If we as a community only want to pay for things in our neighborhood, what, as Stacy said, what do you do about potholes? How about the repaving of roads? Let's not forget the sidewalks. These are community improvements that we all share the cost of. How are traffic calming devices any different? For a council that prides itself on listening to the people, how do you ignore a neighborhood when 65% of the folks want something that will protect the life and safety of our kids? Let's not be penny wise and a pound foolish tonight. I never want to hear that a child was injured or killed in a neighborhood street because the city did not want to spend money on a cheap public safety issue.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. All right, we're moving on. That was the last public comment card to...
Yes. I had a public comment card in that different
slide. Oh, my goodness. You're buried. You're sure right. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I've got three more. Ken Thielen.
Put together a letter for distribution to the council. I don't know if it's been passed out, but I'm actually asking you to postpone voting on City Manager's 090849, which is the building permit. Now, the portion, I don't know if you want me to read it, but the portion that he wants to reduce to 25%, that certainly makes sense if he's reducing the $8 per thousand to $6 per thousand. But there's so many other variations and loopholes in the documents that I find is very difficult to follow. And I think it's going to be hard if you pass his resolution, because his Exhibit A does not relate to building permit costs. It relates more to zoning and variances than other costs. So I think more time has got to be given. And suggesting, as Bill Grossman has done, he's asked his task force to work on it, and I was part of that. And I think more of the task force working with the new Mr. Culler would be good. Give you some good information. Otherwise, I think you're going to be coming back every few months and editing the permit section of the city. Okay? I'll avoid reading it. You guys are great.
Thank you, Mr. Dion. Terry Knoll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Terry Knoll. I live at 1344 Vernon North Drive. And I'm here tonight to talk about the public notice requirements for zoning matters. And as you know from last week's or 2 weeks ago, the meeting work session you had, you've got the longer track of LDPs and that sort of thing, and then you've got the short track for variances that appear before the ZBA. Tonight I'm here speaking only on the ZBA track and the variances. I'd like to reiterate that council must find a way to provide for no less than a 30-day advance notice to the public. That would include the ads in the crier, that would include the letters to the affected property owners, that would include the signs that are posted. Currently, we operate under a 15-day advance notice. The solution to this, and I'll listen to the audio of the work session, seems to be that the current process is only a 30-day window. The application for the variance is turned in the case of the November ZBA meeting. Your application is turned in 1st of October to be heard in November. And there's a period of time the city has to find the application compliant and all that work, and then place the notices 15 days before the November ZBA. The solution is to move that application deadline back by 15 days, so that an application must be filed by mid-September in order to be heard at the November ZBA meeting. That gives the city 2 weeks through the end of September to do its compliant work, to run the ads, to post the letters, to put up the signs by the 1st of October, and that would be the 30-day notice to the public. But I do reiterate that. I also support that this change should be codified in the ordinances. I believe that the codification, the code is what publicly sets the standard for city values, I believe, and puts the staff's feet to the fire. And codifying more stringent standards than actually required by state law already exist here in Dunwoody. And in fact, we have a 75-foot protected spring buffer, which we all are aware of, which is far more stringent than state waters are required. Lastly, if I might, while listening to that audio of that work session, I will have to tell you, I was greatly appalled to hear the clip of that section from Mr. Hennigan's website that had the public notice sections about 5 minutes before the end of that clip. It sounded like it was Lenning from the city attorney's office. But he's quoted, he said at that meeting that council had to decide between, he was talking about extending the zoning notice time would be an issue that would make the applicants unhappy. He said council had to decide between happy applicants and pissed opposition, or pissed applicants and happy opposition, when deciding to change the advance public notice. And I believe that the city, whether it's the council or staff, needs to work on a process that's fair for both parties involved in the variance request. For me, Lenny, the city attorney's office comment confirmed just how stacked the system is against what he called the pissed opposition. The city serves everybody, not just the zoning variance applicants and developers, or neighbors for that matter, who happen to be applicants. This type of thinking and public discussion isn't appropriate for the city attorney's office. I hope you'll take the city attorney's office to task on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nall. Todd Anderson.
Good evening. My name is Todd Anderson. I'm also here tonight to speak to you regarding the public notice requirements and specifically to distinguish between zoning matters that have a multi-phase process and matters that are brought only to the ZBA for which there is no multi-phase process. It's one and done, unless you consider the appeal to Superior Court as a second step in the process, which is prohibitively expensive. At any rate, as most of you probably know, our neighborhood has been involved in a ZBA matter, so it's something that I'm probably more sensitive about than the average bear here in Dunwoody. I also think that I'm probably more qualified to speak to the requirements than probably a lot of people are here in Dunwoody. And I would say that unequivocally that 15 days notice and even 20 days notice, I know as an alternative that has been proposed, it's just not enough. And what I wanted to do was kind of walk you guys through the process as a homeowner would see it, and as one of you guys would see it if you were faced with this. And this is, again, I'm using specifically a variance request that would go before the ZBA. So you get the notice, at best case, if we move it to 20 days, at best case, 19 days before a ZBA hearing. In that time, you need to read and understand all the material that the applicant has spent months putting together and submitting to the city development department. You then have to gain an understanding, unless you're exceptional and have taken a lot of time with the city ordinance, you have to gain an understanding of the relevant sections of the ordinance that relate to that request. No small matter in and of itself. Then, if you want to oppose the variance request, you then need to figure out whether you're adjacent property owners, whether it be neighbors or business owners, care to join you in opposing that. If they do care to oppose you, what you really have to have an attorney, because there's the only second step is an appeal to the Superior Court. The only thing that gets to be carried over to that appeal, if you get to that stage, is what was a matter of record at the ZBA hearing. As a citizen, if it's complicated at all, you don't have any chance of getting what you need in the record. So you pretty much have to have an attorney. So then, step two, typically, is you go to your neighbors or your adjoining business owners and say, hey, we need to raise some money, we need to consult an attorney. So assuming you get to pass that step, then you need to identify a zoning attorney. Most of us, I mean, we know one now, but most of us don't know one. So you identify the attorney. You go and consult with them to figure out when you have a basis for an appeal. You then get an estimate of the cost to make that appeal. Or not the appeal, sorry. To just take the case through the ZBA process. And then, presumably, you go back to the neighborhood, try to determine whether you have the ability and willingness amongst your adjoining property owners to then pay the attorney to get to the ZBA. Not a small deal. In our case, and we got it, I think about as cheap as you could get it. It cost us about $5,000, sorry for the informality, $5,000 to get to the ZBA, to the ZBA. So it's not, I mean, this is real money. So then, at that point, you allow time for the attorney to prepare the case for the opposition. That has to be done thoroughly. Because, as I said, anything that you want on the record has to be presented at the ZBA hearing. So you don't just go in and kind of put something together and then figure out an appeal if you need to. You can really get your facts straight. It needs to be the real deal. And then, within that time, they encourage you to go through mediation, which is reasonable, so you have to allow time for that. So, in case you weren't counting, that was 7 steps. You can't do it in 20 days. It's impossible. I won't say it's impossible. Nothing's impossible, right? It's highly unlikely you can do that in an organized manner during that time.
Thank you, Mr. Hanson.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to...
Yes, we'll extend the time for...
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mr. Hennigan was nice enough to pour... And again, I didn't say this, but I apologize for not being at the last working council meeting. I just made a mistake. But at any rate, Mr. Hennigan forwarded me the audio requirements. The audio from that session when you talked about the requirements. And several of you recall how important it was in the formation of the city, how important land use and zoning matters were in building support for that formation of the city. And I can tell you it was important for me. This is exactly the type of situation in which we need to distinguish ourselves from other kind of what I consider typical municipalities, because we've really made this, you put adjacent property owners at a distinct disadvantage the way it's situated now. And I know that efficiency has been made an important part also of kind of all the services that the city provides. And I understand that. But there's a fine line between efficiency and lack of due process. And I think right now we're at a lack of due process point versus an efficiency point. And so I guess what I would, in closing, I'd like to say 30 days is a minimum. I wrote you guys an email. I don't know if everyone took the time to read it, but I had a kind of a second outside the box option where I said, make it a process where you leave it at 15 days. If there's no opposition, no problem, you've got the fast track solution. If there is opposition, there's an automatic deferral at the ZBA where you then build in another 30 days, you go to the next month's meeting, you have then a 45-day period, which is not outside the state requirements as I understand them from what was included in all the city staff recommendations. And I think that kind of would solve everything, but at a minimum, I know that's more complicated. At a minimum, we've got to have 30 days, and we're past this. So this isn't a, not in my backyard kind of thing. It's something that applies to everybody. So again, I appreciate your time, and thank you for letting me go beyond the 3 minutes. Sure, appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. All right, that I believe was the last council card in my stack of papers. So we'll move on to mayor and council comment. Everybody might have what they want out. Do you have anything? All right, we will move on to the consent agenda.